Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host Scott Tilford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Alright.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
Did you guys know that it's episode 101?
It is, because I saw your episode 100 was on 100 hours of gameplay and I thought that was very smart, Scott.
Yes,
Tilford.
Yes, that was thanks to our boss who suggested that. But yes, I can't believe we've been doing this for this long, but here's
it's
to
crazy.
Another 100 episodes.
When you do like three a week, yeah, it's going to happen.
Don't
like,
tell
eventually,
them the secret, Rach. Oh, that's how we got through it so fast.
Oh, sugar.
But still, I guess technically it would be like the 30th week.
There's too many miles stones coming around at the same time. 52 chatty faces, 100 podcasts. So I'm getting too used to it. I'm getting way too used
Speaking
to it.
Speaking of landmarks?
Yeah,
milestones?
Landmines. There's a whole bunch of games coming for the rest of this year and we just thought we'd roll them all down because we did do one of these podcasts a couple of months back about everything that was coming in summer. But there are an absolute ton of games now that we've started bringing them together.
Yes.
2019 is kind of kicking back in. So yeah, there's something close to about 30-ish games that we've got, but I've asterisked some ones to talk about. So the first one, we've got all the dates for them as well. So the first one is Control, which is on August 27th.
Yes.
Which I'm a huge fan of, mainly because it's the first game from Remedy since Quantum Break, which is back in like 2015 or whatever. And that game was just completely crippled by the fact that it was tied to the Xbox's TV integration stuff. And it just didn't really land very well.
Yeah. No, they were sort of caught between a rock and a hard place for that one. Because obviously back in the day, Xbox and Microsoft were pushing for this TV integration. And they had a bunch of their developers work on these games that were going to include TV elements. And then, of course, they canned that. And then Quantum Break came out afterwards. It was kind of like, this is a strange experiment that has no support anymore.
With like half an hour episodes and everything.
The game was fun enough, but I know what you mean. It kind of fell very flat, I think, compared to what they expected it to do.
Yeah.
Control, I haven't really seen a lot about, but I think because you were excited about it, I looked it up, and it looks quite interesting.
Well, it's kind of got like, it's got this whole thing where you can pick up pieces of the environment and throw them at enemies and stuff,
like
which
Gravity
I love.
Rush, kind of.
Well, yeah, like, totally like Gravity Rush, or like Star Wars Force Unleashed, or like there's a couple of games on PS2, PsyOps, the Manga Conspiracy, and one that I always forget the name of, Second Sight, that Jules loves.
Second Sight's really good.
Nowhere near enough games that you pick up stuff and just throw it at people. Just give me that in everything.
I enjoyed that in Spider-Man PS4.
Yeah. Yes.
Throwing things at people.
See, just take advantage of Havoc physics and let us throw stuff at people. I don't know what the name of the main woman who's in this is, but she's part of an investigatory board and like an FBI type people. It's kind of like the X-Files. They get deployed to different scenarios where like sort of supernatural or unnatural things are happening and it's up to them to like, you know, find out what's actually going on. So the whole game is set in this one giant facility and she's investigating what's been happening because I think there's like ghosts or whatever's been rumored in there.
I'm a huge fan. I'm ready for Remedy to come back because I love Max Payne. I love Alan Wake. And even Quantum Break, when you were actually playing the game, I thought it was good. Except from those kind of platforming puzzle segments. Those can go straight to hell. But they do shooting so well. And the fact that they're mixing it up again with kind of supernatural abilities, that's awesome. And I just think as a solid game to consume, I think it's going to be really good. And I'm really looking forward to just kind of... I imagine the story... You know, I'm here to be convinced about it. But Remedy have never gone wrong with me, even at their worst, with actual core gameplay mechanics.
True, and like Sam Lake's been there since the beginning, and like he's still got like a main role in it. I want another Sam Lake face to be in this game, because there's a bit in Alan Wake where he comes onto a fake TV show, and they go, do the face, and he's the face of Max Payne. So he scrunches his face up, and they go, oh, it's the face. Give me that. I want that in every one of their games that they do.
I try to get that in every single list I ever made.
Good, as well you should. Next thing down is Blair Witch, which is coming on August 30th. It's just completely out of nowhere.
Oh, see, when this was previewed, whenever it was, I was like, oh, it's Outlast 3, it's Outlast 3. It's
totally
another sort of like first-person found footage kind of, I'm guessing you don't have much in the way of weapons kind of it's video weak. Game. And I'm so here for this. I love these type of games. But they scare me silly in a good way.
I was going to say, have you guys looked into the gameplay stuff? Because I'm kind of just staying away.
No, I haven't, because I know I'm definitely going to get it. So I'm just...
Cool.
There was about a two-minute trailer that they released last month or something. that looked really cool, but again, they haven't released much about it by like in ways of what you're actually going to be doing, which is great because Blair Witch is all about like the surprises and the loops and being unpredictable, and I hope it is as unpredictable as the first movie and the very, very good remake.
Yeah, I forgot there was a remake.
It's really
how many people do you think in this game will be found just staring into corners?
At least 1 million.
That's their main thing. Yeah, I would assume that's their signature element.
I can't believe it's coming out so soon. I didn't even know about its release date until I was researching this list, and I thought, well, that's something to look forward to at the end of the month, but they also need to push this a bit more.
I know. Either it means that they're incredibly confident, and it's very much like a Rockstar or a Bethesda thing. It's like, this thing's real, and it's coming very soon. Or they're kind of getting it out the door a little bit faster, because maybe it's not as polished as we'd like.
I only hope it is more closer to Outlast than it is to something like Slender, for example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't just have one core mechanic. I hope it's got like, I hope it's got the depth.
Because I saw the original Blair Witch. I haven't seen the remake, but like, how do you even
A lot happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you even do like enemies or anything? It's just going to all be about the atmosphere.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's, that
will
could
the Blair
be
Witch
fine
be DLC?
If it's the Blair Witch, the actual Blair Witch, find package. Out what she looks like. I think you just do a sort of kind of Outlast 1E type of vibe, maybe a bit shorter, where you're either running away from things that you can't see, because that's what a lot of the action in the Blair Witch films actually comes down to, just people running from things that they can vaguely kind of see. And in the remake, there is an actual monster,
so they
might integrate that. I think we might have even seen it in the trailers themselves. I think you do can have kind of enemies or monsters in there that you obviously can't fight against, but we'll give you some set pieces.
Okay, okay.
There's the potential for people to obviously get a wee bit brainwashed, and then maybe that's the, it's your happy camper friends you're running away from.
Well, it seems like they're hitting that kind of mechanic where you have to loop through the same scenario and things kind of change, which I think Layers of Fear does really well, where you kind of the environment itself is very unpredictable and constantly shifting around you, which, you know, any game that does that, I'm a sucker for. So
when you turn around and the level's completely different. We should do it. You should think about level gimmicks.
Love games like that.
There's not anywhere near enough of them. The next thing down is The Man of Medan, which is also on August 30th. Not a good release date to be going up against Blair Witch.
This sucks because I want both of them, but I'm going to have nowhere near enough time to play both of them until like another big game comes out in September.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. As you'll realize looking at all these release dates, the next few months are just crammed. But Man of Medan,
I was going to say, we're going to get to some later on.
We
were about three major games are releasing on the same day. And
I know.
Say, what do they expect me to do?
Why do they not put stuff out across the summer? Why not? They know we're going to be all making Mario Maker levels. So it's finally coming back from that. Man of Medan is the next game from Supermassive Games. I haven't noted this down as something we can go too in depth on, but they're the people that brought you Until Dawn. They've had a recent run of a bit sort of more naff stuff, like The Inpatient. They did that shooting game.
Bravo Team.
They need a big win. Until Dawn, I totally stand up as one of the best PS4 exclusives, and they haven't had a win since that was in 2015.
Yeah.
So that's a long time ago. Next thing down is Gears of War 5, which seems to be stylized as just Gears 5, September 10th.
Well, I like that they tried to do that for Gears 4 when that was first announced. It was just Gears 4, and then they kind of went back on it, and it's like, it's Gears of War.
Yeah.
Just give me Gears 5. It's cleaner.
It's like, it's a little bit cleaner. For Gears, it's strange because I think the Gears of War IP isn't as like strong as it used to be.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, and it's like, I still love it. I'm curious what they're going to do. I love how much they've hilariously redesigned JD Phoenix from Gears 4. They've just shaven all of his hair off, given him a beard, make him talk more gruff because he's hardcore. And it's like, because in Gears 4, he was just their Nolan North stand-in. Liam Thompson, I think, is the dude that did the voice. Or Liam someone. And it reminds me of that thing, Liam Cunningham. It reminds me of that thing where it's like, they're trying to get back into the Gears of War, the angsty sort of Gears of War personality that was there in the 2000s. But it's an uphill battle.
I'm excited for it, but I'm always excited for Gears.
Yeah.
It's one of the only actual games I've bought, like, immediately for my Xbox One. A lot of them just kind of fell by the wayside. But Gears, even at its worst moments, I've just always really enjoyed. Gears 4, for me, was a great starting point for a new trilogy, but they need something to reinvigorate the franchise. And I'm kind of worried that at least at the big press conferences, they haven't really shown it off. I remember at E3, they talked about it a lot, and that was their time to really come out with gameplay. And yet they kind of didn't, and now we're a month away, maybe even less, from launch.
You'd barely know it was coming out.
I know, exactly.
Especially since at E3 they spent more time and effort in the set pieces than they did the actual gameplay.
When the camera went under the stage, she'd be like, here's the new game, but we're not going to show you it. Yeah. Here's some people playing it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Benroy, though, has played the kind of beta, or at least the early access kind of, test.
They did a multiplayer test.
Yeah, and he said it's really, really good. Mm-hmm. He said it's really fluid and really nice, and I'm excited to give
that
a try.
Gears of War is one of the most reliable game formulas in, like, you know, in recent memory kind of thing. It's easy to do the stop and pop shooting and, like, you know, chainsaws and whatever. Like, I'm looking forward to more Gears, but I just hope they do more with it. Gears 4 didn't have hardly any new animations in, other than you can drag people over cover to kill them and stuff. I want more things on that level.
Yeah.
But yes, I also want more old man Marcus complaining about his tomatoes.
Yes.
Because that's one of the best scenes in Gears 4. And I think in the second half of that game, I'll totally move on from this game eventually, is that they realize how much fun, how much banter is in that group of people being old, angsty, you know, old-ass people. Just give me a whole game of them. Just him complaining about his tomatoes, Baird complaining about being too old.
He's kind of, like, pivoted them into a better Expendables team. Yes. You know, sack off Sylvester Stallone and everyone and put Marcus and everyone else.
But how much
there.
Is that totally the angle? Just kill JT Phoenix. No one cares about him anyway. Don't care about Jay-Z Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't, but give him another game. Yeah. Give him a chance.
They've already kind of completely changed him anyway. Anyway, next game down is Borderlands 3, which is on September the 13th. Now, I don't care about Borderlands, but I think you
so
guys might.
I am so here for Borderlands 3. Like,
come on, Rich. Go on.
You know what? Like, I'm not even going to sit here and say that, oh, I loved Borderlands 1 and 2. I thought they were all right. They were good fun. Mm-hmm. But I am so ready to play Borderlands 3 on my fancy-ass PC with fancy-ass PC friends and just loot and shoot and just have a lovely time.
I'm assuming that they'll capitalize on that whole idea because it's something that Destiny's kind of had for this generation, the whole looter shooter, like, you know, big AAA looter shooter experience. I assume the Borderlands will be like that formula to like the most pristine degree.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, I don't know, just Borderlands has always just had such personality to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I never really got that with Destiny. Obviously, true. Destiny's in a better place now than it was when I played it, but but no, I just love it. Just oozes arrogance and I just love it.
I think it has got such a defined personality. I mean, it was, yeah. I'm kind of looking for, because the thing that always put me off Borderlands 1 and 2 is that I thought it was like too twitchy. I was always getting shot by people across the map and whatever. Mm. I would like a weightier, more like punchy kind of feel to the whole thing, because you're rattling through so many weapons. It's such a, steady
Do you want more guns, Scott?
I do want more guns. And can they please have legs?
Do you want guns with legs?
Yes. I mean, I'm quite game to the whole little mini fleet of guns on legs, just sending my little army of shotguns.
Hell yeah, man.
I'll kind of take that.
I'm excited for it, but I feel like back in the day, I got my fill on Borderlands. Mm. Borderlands 2 is one of the games I've replayed over and over again, and yet have never actually finished it. That sounds crazy, but like me and my friends used to play it all the time, so if we had people around, we would jump back into that. Mm-hmm. I would play it with like girlfriends, my parents, my brother, everyone I could, but I would always go through the same parts over and over again, if that made sense.
I'm the same. Yeah.
So I need to actually dig into Borderlands 3, and I'm just worried that the same thing will happen, because Gearbox, even though this is a good thing, keep promising that there's going to be so much content in it, and again, if you have been looking forward to Borderlands 3, that is a great sort of thing to look forward to. Mm-hmm. But we even did a podcast recently on games being perhaps too long,
too big, and too overstuffed.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to jump in knowing that I won't see it through to the end.
That's kind of my thing, is that like it is inherently such a disposable, like loot shooters or loot systems in games can be so inherently disposable. Like you don't really get something you're going to keep until a couple of hours in or whatever, depending on how it's all kind of done. So I hope that they can do something special with that, considering the legacy of the series. Everyone knows what Borderlands is. So maybe. Next one down is Link's Awakening, September 20th, which is Rachel's favorite thing on this whole list.
I'm so, so excited for this game. I've replayed the Game Boy version.
Nice.
Recently, and it's such a good Zelda. The dungeons are so good. Obviously, it's not perfect. No game is perfect, but there's so many things that they could take out and improve. And what?
I must get it into every single podcast. Carry on.
That I'm really, really excited to see in the remake. Just like things like swapping weapons and stuff like that. I'm just so excited to see the refresh of paint on it.
My thing is that I played the old Game Boy one. I didn't get that far in it. There's a big old fetch quest in it, which is like it's like a 9-step fetch quest, but you don't really know what you
need.
That's
completely optional, man.
Is it?
Yep.
Benji told me that was what I had to do to get through. I'm off trying to find Mulan milk or whatever it was. Anyway, that was the thing that always put me off that, trying to get. I always thought that was the main progression. I might revisit it. Or I'll just wait for the new one.
Yeah, because all you get at the end is you get the boomerang.
Yeah.
And you don't need the boomerang. It just makes life easy.
Interesting. Benji has lied to me for months. Not to worry. Josh, are you interested in a remake?
Yes, very much so. Because ever since I played Breath of the Wild, which is the only Zelda I have played through to completion, I have wanted to go back and play them in any form I can. And unfortunately, there is no virtual store properly on the Switch. And I don't really want to have to fork out the money for a Wii U to get all the backwards compatibility things, all the individual consoles. So this is a great way for me to pick this up for the first time. And I really am looking forward to it, because it's such a hectic launch window. It might get pushed off until December-ish. But for me, that's fine, because December is the time where I go home to my family and I play the crap out of my Switch.
Ignore them and play all the games.
Exactly, so it's perfect. I did it last year with Super Mario Odyssey, and Link's Awakening will be this year's December Switch game.
I think as much as there are two schools to Zelda, like obviously Breath of the Wild is such a different type. If you're going to go down the like the object-based, like dungeon-crawly kind of Zelda stuff, Link's Awakening is always one of the most recommended ones.
Oh, so,
I think it'll be a good place to sort of leap in. Yeah. Okay, we've got a couple of games we can just reel off some release dates for. Code Vein's finally out on September 27th.
Hype for that.
Which is a bit of a, one of the more more like anticipated of the Souls clones, but it seems to be doing enough stuff. Is that got vampires in? Is that what I saw?
Kinda. Mm. I don't know. I hope it's good. It looks like it might not be good.
Well, that's on September 27th. The Ghostbusters remaster's out on October 4th, which I'm just highlighting because I completely forgot that was coming out until Josh found it earlier this morning. But I mean, I hope they do enough with the visuals to just make it feel like, because that game is sort of regarded within certain like the fan community as the Ghostbusters 3 that we never got, because obviously it has all the original voice actors and everything in. I know Ewan will be exploding looking forward to that. So there's that. Next one down is Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which is on October 4th, same day. I didn't want to dwell too much on Ghost Recon because I think it's just such a known quantity at this point. Like, they've added more camouflage elements. You can cover yourself in mud and hide and whatever.
You could say the same about Gears 5. Like, it's such a known quality. So obviously there's a
lot
of people.
Find out about Queen Mirror. Queen Mirror's getting a day in the spotlight.
John Bernthal's in Ghost Recon, mate.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Is his dog in it, though?
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't think it is.
Oh, that dog, what? Though.
If that dog was front and center of the marketing campaign, then maybe he'd have a little asterisk next to the name.
You gotta play it. That's where the intrigue comes from. You've got to play the game to find out whether the dog's in there.
We can bring Ghost Recon into this one, because this is why I asterisked this next game instead of Ghost Recon, which is the reboot of Call of Duty Modern Warfare. That's on October 25th. Which just seems to be all over the place. They've kind of got all the kind of half controversy on the multiplayer, the white phosphorus stuff, and the Tamagotchis that are in the multiplayer.
Oh, what the?
And then just the most serious thing. Are we not talking about the Tamagotchis yet, mate?
Oh, it's so weird.
You get
like
a little Tamagotchi
why?
On your wrist and he says, yatta, whenever you kill stuff.
Do you know what, though? They're trying new things. Call of Duty's been going for how many years now? And they're trying new things.
12?
They're trying.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
New things.
New things, new Tamagotchis. But the multiplayer personality seems to be the most over-the-top thing possible. Obviously, it'll be full of different skins and whatever, and I'm assuming that Activision will put a microtransaction storefront in
it. Yes, they will.
But then, on the single-player side, you've got this like hyper-realism approach where you've got to use your night vision goggles when it gets dark, and you've got to go into rooms very slowly, like open doors very slowly, pick off your different headshots. It kind of seems like they're sort of folding in a lot of the influence from Rainbow Six Siege.
Yes.
That you're going to methodically go room by room.
Oh, that'll be good.
I think that'll be cool. And it's like, I get the thing that makes me excited is that they're cribbing from a different game, which isn't great, but I do love what Modern Warfare was. So if you can kind of mash the two, then maybe.
I'm really interested. And I've found myself caught up in the Call of Duty cycle that
happens every year.
Swear to break out of where something's announced and you're kind of like, I'm kind of done. And then you see the first gameplay and you're like, this could be promising. And then they finally unveil everything and you're like, damn it, I'm in. I'm gonna have to buy it day one. And that's where I am with Modern Warfare. But it genuinely does look like they're doing something different.
That loop as well.
Yes, go
because
on.
We will all play it for the first weekend. We'll think it's the best thing ever. Then we'll realize that the hitboxes are broken again, and then we'll all complain about it, and then we'll just not play it until the next year. But those Monster Energy cans will get us double XP. So it happens again. It's literally every single year. But what was the thing you were going to say?
Oh, I can't remember. Something about multiplayer being a cross between, it's like Call of Duty, it's Siege, it's Battlefield with their larger game modes. I like that the game modes have gotten bigger. This is a Call of Duty that I feel like is built for me, which I'm really excited about. It's got a campaign back. We've got this really cool multiplayer mode, and I'm excited to give it a go and excited to be disappointed when it falls flat, probably.
I look forward to watching a kill cam and watching someone shoot a wall, but it still hit me. So that's
you can shoot through walls now, so...
That's how they're going to get around it. I love that they couldn't fix the hitboxes or the hit detection, so it's like, no, that's meant to hit you through the wall. Brilliant, good. I look forward to it. next one down is The Outer Worlds, which is out on October 25th, not The Outer Wilds, which has been out for 2 months.
Yes.
Outer Worlds, you've already played it, Josh.
I have.
Tell me, Rich, the good thing.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free.
That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Really good. It's exactly what you expect it's going to be, for better or worse. It is Fallout New Vegas in space, but refined and with... It's beautiful, to be fair. Right. Like, graphically, I think the animations look a bit janky, but when you're sort of on one of these worlds and you're looking at the planets in the distance and the skyboxes and the enemies, everything just looks really good. But it is very much rooted in RPGs from around 2010, which for me is a good thing. You could argue that they are not doing enough to potentially innovate or change the formula, but when there is such a gap in the market for this kind of game, now Bethesda has kind of moved on to other things, or they've tried to innovate,
I just
feel like they're plugging into a fan base that is desperate for a game like this, and they're doing it really well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at like the way that it was announced, when it was like, from the makers of Fallout, and it's just like, you guys are clearly just trying to like sort of get... I mean, I get it. I get exactly why you would do this.
Yes.
With Bethesda, the current state of Bethesda being rather shaky, it makes sense that someone with a beloved reputation like Obsidian would be like, here's the Fallout that you want. Here's some dialogue trees.
100%.
Yeah. Here's everything, yeah.
Even in the marketing, when they sort of made those claims and we all started going, well, it's just going to be Fallout in space. Mm. There was a part of me that was thinking, nah, it's not going to be that one-to-one. And then I sat down and played it, and the dialogue system and the way that was made, the stats, the perks, the guns, everything just felt so familiar in a good way.
Right.
But I thought, ooh, no, they really are gunning for this crowd now.
Rachel, you're a Fallout fan.
No, but I want to be. I really want to be. Fallout is, I'm just sitting here thinking, I've been promising one day I'm going to go back to Fallout 4 and give it another go.
I really want
to be.
It's really good.
I really, really want to like it. I'm really excited for Outer Worlds, because I'm going to give that a go, and we'll see if we like that.
I like the graphic style. I think apparently the shooting's quite meaty, and seems like it's way more of a shooter than you'd think.
It is. Well, that's the first thing that surprised me, because not to kind of like, I don't know, talk bad about Obsidian, but they haven't really done a first-person shoot like this, especially not since Fallout New Vegas, and the shooting in Fallout was always the weakest element.
You just put up with the shooting.
Yeah, you had to put up with it, but in here, it was, the guns were varied, it was satisfying, it was meaty, it was good to just sort of like wander around and engage in combat, which is very nice. In fact, this is my second most anticipated game of the year.
Oh, now, good lord.
Following something we'll get to later on.
Well, I'm going to jump over a couple of different things. You've got Medieval coming on October 25th, the remake of the PS1 classic, which seems totally fine. Doesn't seem like it's going to rock the boat, but seems fine.
I always wanted to play it. I was too scared to play it when I was a kid.
Oh, man.
I love
those games. This is the remake of the first one, which you play as a knight called Dan Fortescue. It's very like Wallace and Gromit style humor, like big teeth and everything else.
Yeah.
In the second one was when you could take his head off, and then you could run around with a little head.
Yeah.
Unless I'm getting it wrong, I mean, both those games kind of blur in my head, but I'm sure Medieval 2 was the one where you could take his head off.
I think number one, you can take your arm off, but I'm...
Oh, yeah, you can hit it with your arm. You can do like a rotating spin and stuff.
Just take off whatever I can take off.
It's a good thing to take off, but I also think that the person of that game is just so like kind of Monty Python, like old school, like it's great. I would totally recommend it. Luigi's Mansion 3 is on October 31st, which is, I don't know, I'm gonna say it's like a stealth release, but I keep forgetting, that's another one I keep forgetting is coming.
Oh, it's coming out on Halloween. Yeah. That's so cute.
Yep.
I guess if you want something to play on Halloween and you have a Switch, chances are you'll probably pick up Luigi's Mansion just
it
through
looks good.
Reputation alone. Yeah. The next one down, which I have an asterisk next to, is Death Stranding on November 8th.
This is the one.
Do you want some crazy stuff that makes no sense?
Yeah.
Because I do.
Yeah.
I like the Nicholas Winding reference character is a person who lives in 27-minute increments. So he's only on this.
He's smoking the good stuff here. Boop, boop,
That's Kojima smoking the good stuff. But the whole thing is this whole relationship between life and death, and you know when you die, you go to this like underworld thing. And on the surface, Norman Reedus is trying to unite different disparate factions of humanity by taking different objects back and forward. But the death part of the world is always trying to drag him down.
Yes.
And time itself is frozen. I feel like I totally understand it, but then when I explain it, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Part of me doesn't want it to make any sense at all. I would love it if it's just this abstract, mysterious thing that doesn't give you any answers, and we have to talk about it for 10 years and we get a billion lists out of it. That's
good.
What I want to do.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to do that anyway. It's not going to get in our way. Rich, as someone who hasn't played all of the Metal Gears,
I haven't played any of the Metal Gears. But I am a big fan of Kingdom Hearts, and I love a story that I have to work for. Dark Souls as well. I love a story I have to work for, and I love theorizing and just like doing something and then immediately texting my friend and to go, what the butts was that?
What that living hell
was
that?
I love it. I feel like it really creates a really good sense of community around a game when people are working together to figure out what the butts is going on.
I was actually thinking about this earlier this year because I remember maybe it was late last year when Red Dead Redemption came out, for instance. We were all messaging each other when we were playing through it and we were talking about our experiences. I haven't had that community game so far this year. I'm hoping Death Stranding is it.
I think it'll have, I mean, like you said, like the amount of people that will go on like doing fan theories and on the fan forums and just trying to figure stuff out. Like, there's enough information out there right now. I think me and you did a video trying to explain everything so far. Jules is ever so confused. And I was like, I can explain everything. What's a BT? I'll tell you, it's a beached thing. And so, yeah, I broke all that stuff down. I think there's enough information out there where you can get a picture of what Death Stranding is. But I think the fact that that stuff is out there now just means that there'll be even more ridiculous stuff in the future.
Yes.
And considering that the last trailer, like I said, has Nicholas Winding Refn's character being someone who lives for 27-minute increments and then plugs himself into a machine so that he can go down into the underworld and there's like a whole separate world, so he only comes back to real life when he needs to poop and then
you
he goes back down again.
No idea how much I love the fact that Nicholas Winding Refn is in this
I know
game. That is just crazy and mad, and I can't wait for Death Stranding, Scott and Rage, because I've been going through the Metal Gear Solid games in preparation for this. I binge 1-4. I'm just going to do the epilogue of that game tonight. I'm going to watch it, and then I'm finished with it. And it is beautiful, and I forget how well directed those games are. For as indulgent and as silly as they do eventually get, even in its silliest moments, the emotion is always high. He's always aiming for something which makes it feel earned. Even in Metal Gear Solid 4's wildest moments where Meryl is proposing to Johnny and they're shooting goons at the same time and it's all overwrought. It's like, no other game is doing this.
No.
And I'm so here for it, and Death Stranding has the same vibe.
Really over the top, like living inside their own bums auteurs. And I just want Kojima to be like, here's all the stupid crap that I couldn't do anywhere else.
Yep.
And I've got a few $100,000 to do it. So...
It's like, hey, guess what? I've been building this up for 20 years. Yeah. This is my creative valve and I'm turning the tap on.
That's the thing. I'm like, just wash all over me. I don't really mind. And it's just like, I mean, if you think of Hideo Kojima, you've got Metal Gear and you've got Zone of the Enders and like, or Police Notes. And like, there's not that many times that he's like, you know, gone fully ridiculous. And the last time, the most recent time was PT. And that was brilliant. That was kind of the best game of 2014. And it was just a demo. So yeah,
I agree with that.
We're all looking forward to Death Stranding and hopefully it'll make sense, but I kind of want it to also not make sense. Next thing down is Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is on November 15th, 1 week after Death Stranding. The nice bosom of Pokemon going, it's all right. Pocket Monsters, it'll be fine. It all makes sense.
Pikachu.
Little Pikachu. I mean, there's the thing. What's that new one that looks like Pikachu but can also be like
Hungry
Mon?
The Hangry Mon. Yeah. I don't know what its name is.
That was them just doing like, have you not seen it yet?
No.
There's a little
Pokemon. Hamster.
It's like a hamster and it's always hungry and it has like two modes. It's kind of you. It's like you're either totally fine or you're dying for the food and that's you're making a beeline for the kitchen.
I understand this. This is good. I'm a big fan of this guy.
It does look like Pikachu.
As much as I love Hungry Hamster and Wooloo, I'm a big fan of
Wooloo. Wooloo's the best name for a Pokemon.
The new Pokemon are not looking great so far. They're looking a little bit unimaginative, in my opinion.
Do you not want a Weezing with a top hat on? Because you can get a... What do you call it? Galarian? That one, Galarian forms?
Yeah, Galarian forms. Actually, I want to see a couple more Galarian forms, but not all of them. I want to see some evolutions for the starters. The starters are cute. Mm. The starters are really cute.
Yeah, Scorbunny's pretty cool.
I want to see some evolutions for them. But yeah, I'm really, really excited for Pokemon. I don't even care that it's like they're trying to reboot it and you can't catch all the old Pokemon.
Oh.
No, you can't. There's loads of Pokemon you can't catch.
Oh.
People are mad, apparently.
DLC. Yeah, people are mad.
I mean, because I like the way that they rolled the trailer out where it sort of tapped into like the Breath of the Wild vibe. It was like the same, very similar sounding music.
Yes.
And it was like, here you are in a big open field and you can go chase your Pokemon down.
Yes.
Like, give me big vistas full of just Pokemon to catch.
I feel like,
you catch them all.
It's taking the best parts of out of Pokemon Let's Go,
yeah,
and taking the best parts of like that Pokemon Let's Go did not bring with it, and that is like regular catching and battling. But it's also what I quite loved was just walking around and seeing something in the distance,
yes,
like rather than random spawn encounters. Like
it is weird though, the whole gotta catch them all, but you can't, like in brackets.
Well, you don't, there's 800, 900 Pokemon,
are you gonna catch them all or not?
Too many Pokemon.
That's all I want to know.
Who's got the time? Who has the time?
I've already caught them all anyway.
Yeah,
I've been playing Pokemon for like 20 years.
I'm walking my Charmeleon around 1 kilometer a day so I can make him a Charizard on Pokemon Go. So it's not like the dedication is not there. Next one down is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which is on November 15th.
Oh.
So we finally have a very small little break. Oh, no, we don't, because that ships out on the same day.
Yeah.
Good. I'm going to pick Star Wars over Pokemon, and then
I am also going to do that, because every single time I promise to get into Pokemon, I say that. This is the game for me. I did it. Was it last year with Let's Go Pikachu?
Yeah. Did you play that?
No, good. But I said I was going to. It was like the same thing. I was like, I'm going to play Sword and Shield, but obviously between Death Stranding and Star Wars Jedi Order, no, of course I'm not going to play Pokemon between them as much as it hurts me.
That's nigh on impossible. In terms of what Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is kind of bringing to the table, though, like a lot of people might not know about the Jedi Academy games, which it seems to be very heavily, I don't know, like influenced by, in terms of giving you a set of mechanics to just play with. Like, here's some telekinetic powers and force push, and you can mind control this guy and throw your lightsaber and do whatever. Which, going back to those games, because they added them to the Xbox backwards compatibility thing, I still love playing those games. I love games that give you like just a set of tools and go, here's a bunch of scenarios, and you know, you figure your way through it. But I don't know how much, because hardly anybody's talking about this game.
Well, this is it. It's kind of weird. The time it took me to look at this list and then come in here and record the game, I forgot that Jedi Fallen Order was on it, which is a shame because I'm looking forward to it.
Uh-huh.
I just feel like they need to come out swinging with some marketing soon to get me, you know, sustain my interest.
And as much as, like, I do think that, I mean, I love the dude's name, like Cal Kestis. Like, that's a great name for a protagonist, but I do think he's so completely forgettable. He's some actor from
he's from, like, Shameless and Gotham and stuff.
Yeah.
Cameron Monaghan.
I guess they can bring that in. Rach, what do you think of someone who hasn't
played
the Jedi games?
I'm really excited for it personally because I flippin' love Star Wars. And, I remember watching there was quite a lot of footage shown at it for EA's E3 chat. But I think people have been burned by EA one too many times, myself included.
It's very, very true.
Especially with Star Wars. I really enjoyed the Battlefront 2 campaign, but it was too short and it had a crappy ending, in my opinion.
Unless you got the DLC.
So I'm really excited to see, you know, if they've learned from, you know, everything people have been griping about for the past couple of years and have hopefully improved on that for this one.
I like when they show that you can, someone can shoot a blaster at you and you can grab them and then move them in front of their own blaster bolt and then they get shot
like
by it.
Oh, like Dishonored?
Yeah, just like in Dishonored.
I love
that. More enemies being killed with their own weapons.
I fully agree. I mean, it's Respawn. They have done no wrong yet so far. Even when they made a free-to-play battle royale game,
it was still awesome.
So, I mean, they are yet to disappoint me. I feel like if anyone could do Star Wars well within the EA stable,
The combat's going to be great.
Yes.
Combat should be really solid. And I think obviously the production, the amount of money that's being thrown at it is like, and plus in terms of the wider sort of Star Wars brand, like we're getting Rise of the Skywalker again. It feels like Star Wars will come back in a positive way again. It feels like it's been away.
It does, doesn't it?
Just,
it?
Yeah.
I'm ready for it to come back. I loved The Last Jedi.
I know you did. I wish I did, but I'm kind of looking forward to getting back into Star Wars. It was always the games that made me love the overall mythos anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. Now we also have Shenmue 3 on November 19th, so only 4 days later, one of the most anticipated sequels of all time. Now, it's weird with Shenmue 1 and 2, because I went back to the first two, and I haven't finished either of them. I don't know if you guys have played Shenmue.
I've played it.
Right, okay.
I played Shenmue
1. Only heard about it.
Okay, so it's like, because I love the Yakuza series, which a lot of people sort of cite as like a spiritual sequel to them, even though there's way more combat in them and whatever. But with Shenmue 3, like, it's weird the way that it all came together in terms of the amount of money the Kickstarter made, and then it sort of got delayed, and then it's eventually coming out.
Over and over again.
It's like, can they actually make it work?
I don't know if it's going to make any kind of mark. I hope it does. I hope it blows me away, and I hope it makes me really love the Shenmue franchise. Mm-hmm. But again, it feels like after all of these games, at the end of 2019,
I know,
4 years or so after it was announced, I don't know.
It's weird because I guess they're kind of only really making it for the people who asked for it in the first place. Obviously, it was Kickstarter and stuff. And it's like, because like there are teenagers younger than Shenmue 2. So like, there's an entire generation of people who just know it as that thing that came out before they were born. I know.
That really bonkers game where you drive a forklift.
You keep a cat in a box, though, and you race geese. And so you can always dip into that. But yeah, in terms of the gameplay and stuff, I hope that they've kind of refined the combat, because I always liked the style that Ryo had.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of blocky, it's quite junky. Obviously, it's just a product of the time. But the gameplay that they've put out for it does seem like it's intentionally trying to be old school, which is what Yooka-Laylee tried to do, and then it just felt old school and outdated.
Ugh.
So it's a fine line to walk.
That's why I worry about. But again, it remains even after so many delays and after so long since it was announced, it does kind of remain a weird enigma that I'm excited to see unravel, whether that's in a good way or a bad way.
I put it in the same camp as Half-Life 3, and I'm glad that Shenmue 3 actually exists and those fans will get an ending to their story. And you know, it's one of the worst. What?
Half-Life 3 doesn't exist.
No, but it's in that same bracket of like, oh my god, this thing's finally happening. Oh, right? The amount of people that asked for it for years and years and years, because I don't think we'll ever get Half-Life 3, but it seems as mythical that we're getting Shenmue 3. Doom Eternal is 3 days later on November 22nd.
What
just in case you decided to try and breathe. For
I don't
a
want to. You're overwhelmed. Overwhelming me right now, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, with Doom Eternal, apparently they've, because the thing that I love about Doom, and I am a huge Doom fan, is that Doom 2016, they tied everything together mechanically in terms of, you know, obviously if you want more health, use the chainsaw. If you want to get like a speed boost or whatever, it's like, well, there's a little power up sort of hanging here.
So much fun.
Yeah, and once all those things connected, it was just, you just didn't stop in that game, and the soundtrack just kind of kept you going. In Eternal, they've got like a little shoulder mounted Predator style cannon. So you're always boosting that thing up as well, and you're always like, you know, combining different power. It just seems like one glorious like arena shooter style FPS, which we don't get anymore.
Well, that's exactly it. Like it's old school in the best possible way. We were just talking about Shenmue 3 potentially feeling outdated because it tries to be old school, whereas Doom is the perfect mixture of that old school arcade-y shooter, arena shooter mentality with, you know, modern streamlined game design. Mm-hmm. And I can't get enough of it.
I just lose the reload animations, lose all the perk systems, lose all your loot grinds. Just give me a big old cannon or like a sort of like machine gun, like a long one, that you just hold the trigger on.
But then we'll get bored of it again. We'll get bored of it again. Game does it.
That's fine. At least I get a few years of arena shooter stuff. Also, put Quake Champions on consoles, id.
And just make Quake again. Sorry, Rich.
Yes.
Just make Quake. That's fine. I didn't mean to poop on Quake there.
No.
Is it going to be split screen co-op?
I don't think they've said.
That's all I wanted.
I don't think it'll be split screen co-op. I think they'll do another, because apparently lots of the hands-on reports for the story so far is that they've just doubled down on how ridiculous Doom Guy is. Because in the 2016 one, he's
the grunting.
Yeah, well, he's like the grunting and just, he punch, like, you know, this, like, this character's trying to tell him something and he just punches it in the face and takes the gun. He's like, I'm just going to go kill stuff.
Big, big fan.
Apparently there's a bit in Eternal where he loads himself into a cannon that he's supposed to be taking out and then fires himself through space to get to the next planet. So, I mean, you know.
Wipe me dry. That sounds amazing.
Saints Row by the way of Doom. I'll totally take that. The last one down, which isn't as big as the rest of them, but it might still be a thing, is Mario and Sonic at the Olympics 2020 for November 29th.
Are they still making 29th. Those?
Apparently, yeah. I kind of forgot that was a thing. But for all the Mario Sonic fans.
I'm a huge fan of this. This is going to be a good Christmas party game. And then when the Olympics rolls around next year, I'm going to be so up for it. I'm going to be playing it all the time. Because
we might as well end.
So good.
We can end this podcast on who's better. Yes. Mario or Sonic?
Mario?
I have no stake in this game.
You
Crash
have to vote.
Bandicoot's better than all of them.
Oh, you can't go there.
Oh, then fine. Spyro then.
I know, but just drop it. Doom Guy's better than all of them, to be honest.
No, I'll go Mario because he's got a tash I don't trust.
Oh, I don't see Mario competing very well at the Olympics. I think Sonic would have his lunch. What can Mario do in an Olympic sense?
Well, like, Mario might be stronger than Sonic, so he might be better at, like, the shot put.
The
Kyber
toss. Kyber toss?
Keeper.
Yeah, it's going to be talking about Star Wars. Throwing crystals everywhere.
Sonic needs to get a job, man. Mario's out there he's making a living. He's plumbing through during the day. He's training on the night for the Olympics, man. He's got a lot on. He's got a family to feed. Sonic out there just running fast. He's like the doping scandal of the Tokyo 2020. He's waiting for it to happen, man. He's been on some funny stuff.
I would totally back Sonic at the Olympics, but he does feel like an early 20s student, just sort of wasting his life, running around with stealing Michael Jackson's shoes and never settling down.
And listen, I've got a lot of experience doing those things, so I know how bad that is.
It's both good and bad. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below if you're watching us on the video side, or come find us on social media platforms if you're listening on any audio platforms. For now, though, this has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast, and I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Thank you for listening.
And Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.